Please be seated. We gather today to express our sorrow at the death of Mervyn Alexander Flynn. And he was a friend whom we loved and admired. We extend our deepest sympathy. And can I do so on behalf of the Lochbricklane Reformed Presbyterian Church, but I'm sure I express the feelings of us all in expressing our deepest sympathy to his mother, Laura, who I have no doubt never expected to see a day such as this. We also sympathize with Mervyn's aunt, Kathleen, and with Jack, with his cousins, Linda, Valerie, Wendy. We also remember Tom in the United States and all the family circle. It is true that we have suffered a loss in the removal of Mervyn from among us. It's often the case that we don't fully appreciate what we have until they have gone. Much could be said about Mervyn. His love for his mother was obvious. Every Saturday morning, he would come up to his old home ground to see his mother and to help her in various ways. And he would also call with his Aunt Kathleen and also his late Aunt Maureen when she was living. At our end down in Lochbricklane and among the congregation there and other friends at that end, we all knew that it was futile to try to contact Mervyn at home on a Saturday morning because we all knew he would be at his mother's. Even when Mervyn came once a month to support the church's open air witness in Portadown, which he did very regularly on a Saturday afternoon, he always arrived having come from his mother's. Mervyn was an intelligent man, a very capable teacher, mainly of chemistry, but he could broaden out as necessary. He studied at Coleraine and then further over in England. He was not what one would call trendy or in any way, but yet he was very able to engage with young people. He had a way with young people that drew them to him. Very recently at church, he had begun to teach the very young children, which he took on with much misgiving. But in fact, the little children loved him and looked up to him. His relaxed, no-nonsense style made other people relaxed in his company. His career as a chemistry teacher took him to jobs in various places in England. I know he was in Berkshire and in Slough, in Cornwall and in Shrewsbury, before returning to Northern Ireland in 1997 to take up a post as head of chemistry at Down High School. And subsequently, taking early retirement, he nevertheless kept his hand in teaching, his sub-teaching at Banbridge Academy and Portadown College and elsewhere. It was when he came back to Northern Ireland that he first came to the church in Lochbricklane, of which a minister. He joined the church and was subsequently elected and ordained as a deacon in the congregation. And we shall all miss him very much. His fellowship, his friendliness, His hospitality, which was amazing for a man on his own, he extended hospitality to an extraordinary degree and entertained a large number of people. All this is true, and much more. And yet, however much of natural gifts Mervyn had, his natural abilities do not adequately explain Mervyn. He was, firstly and foremostly, a Christian. Above all else, he was a Christian. And through contact with Christian friends while at Kilrain University, he had been converted to Christ. And to understand Mervyn, you must understand what the Bible teaches, and especially what the Bible teaches about salvation. So as well as gathering here to mourn and to sympathize with his dear mother and family circle, we are also gathered to worship God, and in so doing, to learn the truth of God's word. So let us begin our worship by singing Psalm 40, Psalm 40, the verses on the sheet which you have. Psalm 40, I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. He took me from a fearful pit, and from the miry clay, and on a rock he set my feet, establishing my way. We'll sing this psalm, and then after the singing of the psalm, we'll remain standing for prayer. But should any not be able to stand or not stand for too long, then feel free to take your seat. But otherwise, we'll stand for the singing and then remain standing for prayer. Let us stand and praise God.
My voice
And eternal God, we bless and worship thee. We thank thee that there is access to thee, the great God of heaven, through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that sinners can come to the high and holy God through the Redeemer, the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We thank thee that our Lord Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, that he fulfilled all righteousness and bore the sin of many, and that none perish who trust in him alone. And we come to thee at this time, O God, and our hearts are very sore. For, O God, it has pleased thee to take our friend Mervyn from among us. We acknowledge, O God, thou art righteous in all thy ways, and holy in all thy works, that thou art good and thou doest good. And yet we come to thee in our sorrow, and we pray, O gracious God, that thou wilt look upon us in mercy and grant to us the grace and strength of the Spirit of God. We pray, O God, for those who are most sorely afflicted. We pray, O God, for Mervyn's mother, Laura. We pray, O God, that thou wilt be gracious to her and that thou wilt grant to her to find a solid comfort in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for all the family circle. We pray, O God, for thy blessing upon them, upon Kathleen and Jack, upon Valerie and upon Linda and Wendy. And we remember Tom in America. And we pray, O God, for all the family, that thou wilt be gracious to them, and that thou wilt grant to them spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, joy and peace in believing, and abounding hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We pray, O God, that this solemn providence might be blessed to us all, that we might all learn to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom, to learn thy truth, that we might live by it, to know our days to be but as a vapour that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. And, O God, that we might all be found, seeking that peace with God, which can be had only in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to thee with thankfulness for every remembrance of Mervyn, and of thy grace to him, and the effects of that grace in his life. And, O God, we thank thee for the fellowship that thy people had with him over the years, and for the means that that was of spiritual blessing and encouragement and help. So look upon us, O God, at this time, and grant thy blessing as thy word is read, as its psalms are sung, and as its truth is declared to us. We pray that thou wilt be gracious to us, and look upon us in thy mercy, and forgive all our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, for Christ's sake. Amen. Please be seated. We read the word of God in John's Gospel and chapter 17. John's Gospel and chapter 17. John 17, and reading from the beginning. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us. Verse 24 of that chapter reads, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This verse helps us to see why people become true Christians, like Mervyn. Why people become true Christians when they are in this world, and where such people go in the world to come. It is part of what is often called Christ's high priestly prayer. So the first thing is, why some people become Christians? Why did Mervyn become a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is given in the words, those whom thou hast given me, where the Lord Jesus says there, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. And this phrase, whom thou hast given me, those whom thou hast given me, occurs several times in this prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also uses this expression elsewhere in John 6, for example. Those whom thou hast given me. What does this mean? What is Christ speaking of when he refers to people being given to him by the Father? It refers, first of all, to God the Father choosing the heirs of salvation in eternity past. This is spoken of in many places in the Scriptures. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. This is telling us that God, in eternity past, chose who would be the heirs of salvation, and his choice was not based on any natural superiority of those who were chosen over against those who are not. It is according to the good pleasure of his will. It is a matter of God's favor to the undeserving, indeed God's favor to the hell-deserving. God chooses from among mankind a multitude of sinners who deserve condemnation as much as any other, and he has chosen them to salvation. And he gave them to the Son, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to redeem them. Christ came into the world to save sinners. It was said of him, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the Son of God became a man, and yet he never sinned. He bore the punishment of sin, but not for himself, for he had no sin. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And yet he bore the sin of many as the appointed substitute of sinners. He bore the wrath of God in the place of all those given to him by the Father. That's why on the cross he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was bearing the righteous judgment of God in the place of guilty sinners. And in due time, each one of those given to Christ in eternity to redeem is changed by the Holy Spirit while they are in this world. It may be early in life or later in life, but each one of the elect of God is changed by the Spirit of God and made willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, because of our sinful natures, none of us are willing, naturally, to trust entirely in Christ. But the Holy Spirit renews, changes the hearts of those who are chosen from eternity, so that as the gospel is preached to them, they receive it, even though others who hear the same gospel do not do so. This change of heart wrought by the Spirit of God is what the Bible means by being born again of the Holy Spirit. And faith in Christ is the first effect of being born again of the Spirit of God. What is it to have faith in Christ? Sometimes people say, oh, I have great faith, but they have no real idea of what they mean by that. Well, real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ entails, first of all, a recognition of deserving to be condemned forever in hell for our sins. There is no such thing as faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior if we don't know that we need saving. If we think we deserve to go to heaven, we'll never come to Christ. Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If we don't think we're sinners, or at least not in any significant way, and that God is holy and just and punishes sin, then we'll never see our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is one of the most popular falsehoods of this generation to think that God doesn't punish sin. The Bible is emphatic. He does. And the cross of Christ tells us that he does, because Christ was acting as a substitute for sinners. Whatever we thought of Mervyn, and we did think highly of him, very highly indeed, he knew himself to be a sinner before God. He knew that by God's standards, which in the end are the only standards that matter, he was guilty. Those of you who have corresponded with Mervyn in the past by email, you'll be aware that his email address included the biblical expression, chief of sinners. And that's how Mervyn saw himself. We can all be good by our own standards. That's easy. We set the exam, as it were, and then we pass with flying colors. But it's worth nothing. And what other people think of us, in the end, won't matter at all. By God's standards, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You'll never be saved so long as you think you don't need saving. So there is a recognition of deserving eternal condemnation and a hearty dependence on Jesus Christ alone for acceptance with God. The real believer depends entirely on Christ for acceptance in the sight of God. The scripture says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." That is, without claiming to have anything with which to buy, earn, or secure, or deserve, or merit acceptance with God. We must come as those who have nothing to recommend ourselves before God, and depend entirely on Christ and his righteousness, his fulfilling God's law, his bearing the punishment of the transgression of that law. We must depend upon Christ and only Christ for acceptance with God, and come to God with the one thing that is truly ours, our sins, and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." God justifies, that is, declares not guilty, all those sinners who trust in Christ alone, as Mervyn did. They are kept as long as they are in this world. In the earlier verses of this chapter, we read in verse 15, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." They are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. What I have given you is a summary of the gospel that Mervyn believed and loved. This is the faith in which he lived and died. This is the gospel which he adorned in word and life when he was among us. It is this gospel that explains so much about Mervyn. And this gospel which he believed and loved is the gospel declared to you this day. It must not be diluted now that he has gone. This is what he believed. This is what you should believe. Not because Mervyn believed it, but because the Word of God teaches it. The second part of the verse tells us what happens to true believers when they die. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Christ prays that his people will be kept while they're in this world, but there is appointed time for them to leave it. In Mervyn's case, it was much earlier than I suppose any of us had envisaged. But that's a matter for God. He decides how long we are in this world. But Christ not only prayed that his people would be kept while they are in this world, but that they would be with him when they leave it, that they should be with me where I am. Instead of the hell they deserve, as all do, they go to heaven, to the presence of Christ, and to behold his glory. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, and they rest from their labors. So that Mervyn and all who die in Christ, their souls go to be with Christ, to behold his glory. And then at the last day, their bodies shall be raised to glory also, and reunited with the soul, when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Without Christ, there is only outer darkness. Without Christ, the soul at death goes to hell, and the resurrection day for those without Christ is a resurrection to shame and everlasting contempt. But for those in Christ, death brings their souls to glory, and the resurrection day will for them also be resurrection to glory. This is our confidence in our sorrow, that Mervyn is with Christ, beholding the Saviour whom he loved so much. You have now heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It behoves all of us to examine ourselves. Yes, it is a time of sorrow, but it is also a time when we should not only sorrow, but examine ourselves. Where are we heading? Mervyn has died, but he knew where he was heading. What about you? You will die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. There is no escape from these things. But there is mercy and forgiveness of sins from the God of heaven for all who flee to Christ and seek acceptance with God through him alone. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The Lord Jesus Christ said to sinners when he was in this world, and he still says it in the scriptures and through his ministers declaring it in his name, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Amen. Let us sing Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, e'en for his own name's sake. And after the singing of the psalm, we remain standing for prayer, and then also the pronouncement of the benediction. Let us stand and praise God.
Lord, shepherd, I'll not want. Him makes me down to lie in pastures green. Bye.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee for the truth of the word of the Lord. We thank thee that thou hast given sure ground of hope in the holy scriptures, which are able to make wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Bless that word to all our hearts, that in our sorrow we might remember the word of the Lord, that the people of God should not sorrow as those who have no hope, and that those who are without Christ might this day seek forgiveness from the God of heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ, the gracious Saviour of sinners. Continue with us. Grant thy blessing to Laura, Mervyn's mother, and all the family. And bless us all in the knowledge of Christ. And look upon us for good, even this day. And cleanse us from all our sins. And receive us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.